Hello, everyone, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. For those of you who are only listening, we have these, what do you call these?
I don't know.
They're party favors. They're the blow thingy.
You blow on them and they
they're like out. The lizard tongues. And they're supposed to make noise, but they're so cheap. That's in the Dollar Tree. That they don't make noise. They just...
One year's resolution Ashley won't be making is to have less frequent visits to the Dollar Tree.
I am just addicted to the Dollar Tree. You can find some really good deals there.
Yeah, I got these hats.
Yeah, can you believe these hats are especially yours?
Mine is pretty fresh.
I don't know if you got that at Gucci. I don't know.
Gucci or the Dollar Tree?
We got it at the Dollar Tree. Can you believe it?
I actually can't believe it because the bow's already falling off the ribbon.
Well,
so
no, you wouldn't know unless I told you. I'm just saying.
So based on our intro, our wonderful intro there, we are talking about New Year's this year, right? Everything that happened in 2020.
Right. Out with the old and in with the new. We made so many great memories this year.
Yeah.
And I mean, despite 2020 being a sucky year for everyone, it also came with some diamonds in the rough, you could say, and some learning lessons and, you know, some laughs.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? The funniest moment, I will say, this little spoiler, the funniest thing you said this year, can you guess what it is that I still laugh about when I think about it?
I don't know. I know the splits thing was up there like a couple years ago. That was my funniest.
Oh yeah, the man threading. Well, this year is the woman turkey.
Oh, the woman turkey.
You're
gonna tell that story.
Yeah, that's, you know, so funny. Let's start off this podcast with one of the funniest things that Adam said.
That was my blonde moment. That was. We were out in Vegas one day.
Yes, we were looking for my house.
Yes.
We flew into Vegas for one day to check out the houses. And then Adam saw these unique looking birds crossing the road.
I think it was.
And I don't know, they were very out of place, I will say, for Vegas.
So it looked like it had the same head as a turkey, like the red, weird red skin, but it didn't have I don't know if it's called a gizzard or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Is it a gizzard?
I think so.
It didn't have that. So I was like, so you go ahead.
So he was like, are those woman turkeys? And I'm like, we just started laughing. That was so funny. Woman turkeys.
I was like, is that a turkey? Is that a woman turkey?
Dude, I think that is the funniest thing about nature.
I'm so excited.
The funniest thing about nature in general, I always get a kick out of it, is when you see like the female version versus the male version of a species. Like the female will be like ugly or even huge. It's so funny. Like the praying mantis or whatever, the woman is, or the female is huge, and then the male is like so microscopic. Like, how did that happen? And
how did you get so caught up on the praying mantis?
I don't know. It's just such a funny thing. Yeah. Or the male will be the flamboyant one, like a peacock or whatever, and then the woman, or keep saying woman because you said woman turkeys. So the female version will be like the ugly one.
It's like that in real life though too. Like, guys are just trying to, they have to do whatever they can to get a girl. Girls just have to like be like, hey, here I am. Like,
can you imagine the female being like, it's 10 times your size?
I know, that would be weird, right?
Yeah.
Like having to do all that, like the singing of the birds, they have to like sing to serenade a girl.
Yeah,
like we're always
so hard.
The girls make it so hard on us,
right?
Man.
We just sit back and watch it.
I know, you just sit back and be pretty. That was pretty funny. That was crazy. That's actually a funny part of the story too. So I think that could be even part of the 2020, because you were in LA, you loved LA. I was telling you for years to get out of LA just because of like the rent prices and stuff.
Yeah.
Which they're down 30%, which is crazy now. They're down 30% rent.
But it's turned to crap.
Oh yeah.
Honestly, I've seen videos of what my street looks like now. It's like tent city.
Oh,
it's really sad.
It's really sad.
I mean, you can imagine the homeless population is like ever increasing, especially because everyone's losing their job and stuff. So it's like, ooh.
Yeah. I think never before have we seen how important local government is, right?
Yeah.
Like, because that's who controls like that stuff.
It really is an eye-opening experience. I never really paid attention to any of this.
Yeah, me neither. I didn't really care about it until then. But yeah, California, New York, those are the kind of the worst right now with everything, the shutdowns and stuff. But what's crazy is that you came to Colorado one day. So with all the shutdowns that happened, I got visited by the police in my gym just one time, and then I called them, and then we ended up having like discussions, and then I ended up just staying open. I closed it for like a week, I want to say, where I was like, and then I was like, screw this, I'm not shutting down my gym. And I tried to come up with like, I had doctors in there. So luckily I had that kind of loophole. So it was kind of a gray area if I could be open or not. And I just stayed open and never, and so Ashley ended up flying in one day, and she was sick of paying high rent in LA, and was like, I think I want to move either to, what'd you say, either?
Oh, I already knew where I wanted to move to. I was like, guess.
Okay.
Like, guess where okay. It is. And then, like, Denver? No.
I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah.
And then that was Monday, she flew in. And then by Friday, we were out looking at houses in Vegas.
Oh, yeah. One day, we saw, like, how many houses? Like,
20
or 21, something?
I think it was.
Yeah.
It was a lot. Yeah. But it was funny is that Monday, she had the idea. She's like, I need your help because I never bought a house before. So I'm like, all right, here's my loan person. And then by Wednesday, she was approved. By Friday, we were in 20 houses, 21 houses. And by Saturday, she had a house, right?
Yeah, and the funny thing is too, out of all these houses we saw, I ended up choosing the first one that we saw, which was on my maybe list. So the realtor had like an app that says like your favorites or maybes and no's. It was in my maybe pile. So I didn't really even think I would like it. I was like, yeah, whatever. I just need to see what's available. But I ended up falling in love with that one. But we still saw the other houses just for peace of mind. But I'm really glad I chose that house.
I like that house a lot.
It fits me well. Yeah. Like, I feel like it's perfect for me. So that just, and then, hey, now you're out here too.
Yeah, I wouldn't have came. I wouldn't have opened a prep center in California. I left California because of like the tax, really it was like the taxes and stuff like that, why I left California originally. And so, I wouldn't have opened there. But then when you came out here, everything kind of worked out.
Fell into place, right?
Yeah, it was crazy.
But that is like one thing that, see, it's like a learning lesson, I guess, from COVID. So I think I would still be in LA if it wasn't for like the COVID shutdowns, because it was like an eye-opening experience, because, you know, everyone's just living their happy lives. Yeah. Everyone has a great job. The economy is thriving. But when COVID hit, I saw a lot of people lose their job and the economy just kind of like went down, right? So I'm lucky that it didn't affect me financially, but I just saw what it did to other people and how one minute you can be so secure, you have a job, money's rolling in, life is good. And then the next minute is like, you don't have any of that. So I was like, you know what, Ashley, you gotta grow up, time to grow up. This was a kick in the butt. Like, I need some more like security in my life. You know, I was paying very high rent in LA. And when I tell people, I don't even know if I want to say the amount I was paying, but it was crazy amount of rent. And, you know, that was fine for me at the time. You know, I lived in LA a few years. I got to experience it. It was fun. It did its purpose for what it was. And it's time to grow up. So Ashley finally grew up in 2020. I finally became an adult. And thank you, Adam, for helping me adult. I wouldn't know how to start looking for houses or the stuff. Process. I have no idea. So, I mean, wow.
I'm glad you did that. I hated that place. I loved that apartment because it was, it really was like staying at the W. Your apartment was nice. And all these, it was really cool. Like at one point it was like the social media capital of the world. I mean, even Logan Paul had an apartment there and all these like social media people. So it was like the spot to be at, you know? And then towards the end, like, it was just, you're just on lockdown, you know, you couldn't even use the gym, you couldn't use any amenities.
That sucked, you know, like having to pay that much for rent. Sometimes you can justify it, like there's a gym right downstairs or, you know, or this amenity and that, and there's benefits and then there's the pool and all that got closed down. So it's like, what are we paying for exactly? Yeah. And honestly, although it was a nice apartment, the neighborhood itself was, I mean, it was on the Hollywood Star Walk. So like it's, you know, it's kind of like one of the cities is cool to visit, but you know, you kind of see it's not like the safest place to be. Once you're inside, definitely safe. Like it's hard to get through the security, but once you walk outside, it's just a little sketchy. And I've had experiences where like a homeless person followed me for blocks and blocks and wouldn't leave me alone. And like, I saw like, I think a week before I decided to move, some people had like a taser in a circle and they were just like playing around with it. And I'm like waiting at the stoplight while they're playing with a taser right next to me. I'm like, oh my God, you know what I mean? I'm just like, this is, there's a lot of, I just feel like it's like full of a lot of people that didn't make it as an actor or something. Cause they're really, I mean, I've seen homeless people and I, obviously there's homeless people here too, but they're just like reenacting scenes or something. I don't know. It's a different kind of vibe. Yeah. They call it Holly Weird. It's true. It's like so strange. Some of these circumstances I've been in. And
there's a lot of homeless people on your street.
Yeah.
Now.
Crazy. But wow. I'm here now and I feel nice and safe. And Adam's here too.
Yeah.
Wow. And you're here and we're in your house right now.
Yes.
In Vegas. Oh my gosh. and Jim coming soon.
Yeah, really soon. Yeah, that's crazy too. That I think the whole year it kind of shed light on a lot of things, like just the same thing with you, like economically.
Yeah.
So for me in Colorado, and the main reason that I left Colorado, because I was gonna do two. So first off, the main reason I came to Vegas was because so you came and I was like, man, I've always wanted to come here. I was always like kind of like a second thought, like, oh, one day I want to go there or I want to go to Texas. And it was like for a tax thing, but also because like the community of fitness was better out here. Like there's more people out here. And the more that we became, because we're like 93% online. Like all of our clients are online. Mm-hmm. And we have some that are local, but even the local clients, they only check in online. Like you come to the gym for the community part of it and posing and stuff like that, but it's not like you need the prep center. It's just like a community builder type of thing. So I was like, well, if most of our people are online and we're an hour away from the airport in Denver, which is a far, you've been at that drive 100 times. And it's just not convenient. And no one really passes through Denver. If they do, they go to the mountains to go skiing, like in Aspen. They don't like go to Denver and then Southwest Denver. So it's pretty inconvenient for people who are like not in Denver on the team. But in Vegas, I was like, well, this is only 10 minutes from the airport. A lot of our people are going to be going to Vegas anyways. Our California people go to Vegas. A lot more people have access to it this way. So it made sense. But the way it worked out really was a couple things. Like one, the building, I got it for 50 cents on the dollar, which is because of COVID, which is crazy. Like, and I think that's something for people to learn too. There's always like a positive you can make from a negative, you know? You just got to look right. You just got to look the right way. And so with the building, I mean, I said no to it, yes to it, no to it. I mean, Ashley was there when I basically said no at one point. And then I was like, no, I'm gonna make it work. And so what happened was a couple factors, but one was when I was in Denver, there was people blocking the freeways. Someone got shot on the freeway. They're burning buildings and they're looting buildings. And then our governor, you know, and I don't care like what your political affiliation is, but the more Democrat, the more far left your governor is, the worse it's going to be for your city in terms of like safety and lockdowns and everything like that. If you look at California, lockdowns are crazy. Looting was allowed. Buildings were being burned. You look at New York, same thing, the defund of the police. And Colorado's up there too in terms of like how far left it is. So we were told that if people were hurting people in our building, that then the cops would come. But if they were looting our building or trashing our building, the cops would not come. And I was like, dude, what? That was the same year that my taxes on my building went from 5,000 to 16,000? It was like 15,000 some change. Then it went to this year, they were gonna change it to 21,000. And I'm like, how did I go from 5,000 to 21,000 a year? And just in property taxes, that's just one part of it. It's not sewage. They charge you for everything. Sewage, water, drain. If it rains, they charge you for stormwater in Colorado. Like it's crazy. They just charge you. And so it's just nonstop, just new bills keep coming from the city and the government. Because in that type of environment, they think, oh, well, the business owners are rich because they own commercial property. So we're gonna tax the rich in that far like left ideology. And so I was like, this is not going to stop. You know, I have a free gym. I do it for the community. Like you're charging me more in taxes and now you're going to not even protect me. Like I'm done with you guys, you know? So that was like the last straw for me was when they said they weren't going to protect me the same year that they said, you're going to pay five times more in taxes. The same year they said, you have to be out of business. I'm like, wait a minute, you're telling me I got to be out of business. You're going to tax me five times and you're not going to protect me if something happens in my building. Yeah. Guess what? I'm out of here. I'm going to take my jobs with me. So like, that happened and I was really pissed about that. And that's kind of like, was like the biggest reason I left. And then obviously you can save in taxes by not paying state taxes in Vegas. But I came here and they had this building for sale for 800,000. The prep center was selling for 800,000, the new building. And then the people who owned the prep center owned a bunch of buildings and everyone wasn't paying rent on their buildings. And this was the building that they wanted the least, because it used to be a bank and it had a lot of bank vaults in it. So it's really hard to work with this building because there's just so many bank vaults in it. And it took a lot of money construction wise to be able to use it for what I want to use it for. So they ended up being like, hey, he'll take $550 for it. And I was like, how did you drop your price? Like $300,000 basically. And I was like, well, okay. So I got the construction guy in there and then we were going through it together. And they're saying, well, your construction costs are going to be crazy through the roof. It was like, I mean, we're at like $400,000 of construction. And I was like, the building's worth about, actually the building now is worth like $950 or so. So it's actually not a bad deal to get it exactly like I wanted to and put another $400,000 into it. But I said, look, tell him, cause I was like, tell him I'll give him $400,000. I'll give it to him in 10 days if he says yes. And then, cause they needed the money and they hated the building. They bought it for like $200,000 a long time ago. So they didn't really care. They were trying to get rid of the building for 5 years. They're trying to sell it. And so I was like, because the construction cost, when it's added up, is going to be worth more than the value of it if I bought it at 600 or whatever. So, and then they said yes. And 10 days later had the building and then there you go.
That's what's up. Yeah. It's kind of crazy. Was like meant to be, you know. I'm so happy that you're having a gym out here and it's so cool to see like the progress of it. I didn't get to see much of it, you know, whenever you first built your Denver one, but it's kind of cool just like, you know, now that you're vlogging it and stuff, yeah. And I visit it sometimes and you show me around to where like the beginning, like remember I took your before photo where you're standing in front of the construction work and it's a bunch of dust and just a mess in there. And then can't wait to take that after where you're going to be like in the nice new gym. And I've been seeing, you know, those little clips that you've been sending to me, it's coming along so nicely.
Yeah.
And I just can't wait to be like amongst my people, because that is another thing, like having that gym, like brings like the competitors and the gym goers that we're like familiar with. Whereas in LA, you know, it's kind of like, you know, there's fit people, but nobody's really like fitness, like me, not much anyway, it's not much of a crowd there, but definitely here. So that's cool. And I get to be a part of the team even more because I kind of always felt like, you know, a little left out because I'm all the way in California and everyone's in Denver. So it's going to be nice to kind of be there a lot. And it's like motivating for me because it's like, I get to see these people a lot more. So how exciting. I just hope, Adam, that you don't get too annoyed with me because, you know, you see me more here and, you know, whereas you might have saw me like 1 week out of a few months.
I think we're good. I think it'll be fine.
Hopefully I don't annoy you.
I know you would annoy me because that one time we spent 31 days in a row together.
Oh yeah. That
was like all day, every day for 31 days, like overseas and all that. And
I think I did though, like with the Family Mart.
Family Mart. We don't have to go into that. I think it'll be fun, especially now you have your own office and stuff too, and be prepping people. And I think the whole point of the prep center, and just so you guys know too, like the whole point of the prep center isn't because it's a money maker. It's actually a money waster. It's a total money bucket. Like all it does is waste money. There's no, it's funny, I have coaches that come up to me and they'll be like, one day I want to do that. And I'm like, you know, it doesn't make money, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a strict cost. Like, well, how? And I'm like, there's no memberships, dude. There's, you can office from home. You don't need a place like that.
Right.
Like you can have all your crew office from home and do a Zoom meeting. You don't need that. Like it's a total waste of dollars, you know? Mm-hmm. But the way I see it is like, you know, I've made money in other areas too, like real estate and whatnot too. And so that's just kind of holding, like it's like a bank basically. And one day I'll sell it, you know, like years and years down the road, but why not? Like that gives me the most reward versus like investing it and making a few thousand dollars a month. Like I'd rather just have the community, have the coaches right next to me. We can all train together in terms of like learning and pushing it to the next level. And I think and it's more of like a community thing too. Like everyone can use it. It's a great, like I wish I had that growing up, like a community prep center. And so it's kind of like that's
great for filming content too.
Yeah.
Especially with those blue lights and those multicolored lights. Yeah. That's so cool. It's going to make some awesome
footage. Got some cool lighting coming up in there. Mm-hmm. But that's what it's for. So it's when it's open to we're going to open it to the public when it's all 100% done, but it'll be open to the team first. But if you guys are coming to Vegas, like come on out to a posing class, like come on out. It's free. Ashley, I'm sure will be there most of the time doing posing classes. And then we'll have, you know, Mark Anthony will be there a lot doing men's physique posing class with me and Josh and another IFBB pro. Mm-hmm. And it'll be fun. Yes, we're going to always have guests, you know.
Yeah. And the podcast room, which I feel bad because I don't know if you realize, but well, you probably do. You've been telling the podcast people, this is like few more weeks for when we'll get a good podcast system in the new place. And then it's kind of taking longer than you.
Dude, it's always something with the construction.
But we're trying, okay? Maybe in the next month, hopefully. Yeah.
It was supposed to be done on the 12th of December, and it's now the 1st of January. Today's January 1st. Yes. So, and they're still not done with the lights. Like,
Okay. But just so you know, we didn't forget it's coming.
Yeah.
And then we could really have a high quality system instead of somebody commented last week on the YouTube video. They commented, "This looks like it was filmed on a potato." And I agree, but it was such a hilarious comment. Hey, at least the sound's gotten better.
It's
still not to the point it will be with the soundproofing and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's come a long way.
Yeah.
So we're evolving slowly but surely. We're getting there.
Well, I used Anya's computer last week, which was a potato camera. It was terrible. It was a Mac too. It was like the most expensive camera in the
maybe
house.
The lens was blurry.
That's how it is with those laptops. So into the year of 2020, all that happened. And then I ended up just deciding, you know, when they said they're going to raise my taxes again on my building, another $7,000, that's when I decided to sell it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know, I just, it's going to be too hard to do both anyways. And then I kind of realized, like, towards the end, and you probably realized it too, it was like, I think having two would have been too much, too much stress, you know, too much work.
You already got enough on your plate.
Yeah. You know what? That's the thing. Something I realized this year, like there's a point where it is too much, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, I've never ran into that point. Cause I move so fast that I don't care, but there's a point where it's too much. And I reached that point with like, when I was moving the house, moving the gym, selling land, selling the property, selling the house, building the prep center, getting ready for the Olympia, like doing the regular coaching that we do, of course, which is like I always have to make that a priority in my day. It's like, you know, 6 hours, 8 hours a day where I'm doing the regular coaching 4 days a week on updates. Mm-hmm. And then you have to do everything else on top of it. So for 2021, my goal is to not do any new projects at all. Just focus.
Oh, I think you will, though. I have a feeling you will. You're like a type AAA personality.
Yeah.
Type A personality is what they call it, right? Yeah, you're like AAA. You're like, if I'm sitting in fit with 15 minutes with nothing to do, oh no, we gotta start something new.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You can't sit still for 15 minutes without just like not doing anything, without just being like, oh no.
I'm hoping that I can do it. I've been already trying to like convince myself to not take on any other projects.
Day, Adam, you need a
spa. I know. So
they work wonders. That's what I've been doing.
Well, my goal in 2021 is gonna be to like, well, the prep's gonna be done in like probably 3 weeks. So my goal is to not take on any other projects and really like, I want to work with a lot of other coaches too, and really just focus on pushing my skill set to the next level too. And it's really cool as I've been talking to other coaches that are like other high level coaches. And I even told them, I was like, hey, when you're in Vegas, like come out to Vegas, like bring your team. Let's do like a group posing and let's sit down and like talk methodology and things like that. We can learn from each other. And I've been pretty receptive too to all these other guys. And I think that the problem is a lot of times when you have like, when you call everyone calls their training team a team, you know, and sometimes people think like teams are against each other because like just by nature teams are against each other, you know, this team versus that team, but all the coaches are pretty much for the most part like friends, like we all pretty much get along. And I think that if we can like have like, because now I have a pretty prime location, you know, Vegas, so if like if someone's from another state and they're bringing in to compete in Vegas, like they bring their team, we could talk ideology, whatever. And then it can make us all better.
Yeah.
That's how you get better, is like by like being around better people, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So that's kind of my focus in 2021 is going to be to like push my skill set, to also have the coaches that are there, like push their skill set and just like get better there and just really not even focus on anything else other than that. Cause it's easy to get like, it's easy to do that, you know, like get too wrapped up with like, I sold 3 properties this year on my own and like things like that. You can get, you can get caught up in it. And I just don't want to ever to lose concentration on what's important, you know?
Yeah.
So absolutely. That's definitely one of my things. And it was just too much,
right?
Too much work that I didn't like. I like prep work. I can do it all day long, every day. I never think, oh, this is hard. But the other stuff is like doing the gym, like getting the gym ready. I'm like, this sucks. I got to be there. 7 and meet the electrician. I'm not excited about it. I'm excited about done.
Yeah, that's final it. Project.
I'm not excited about anything else. The guy calls me all the time. Hey, we got this going on. I'm like, dude, just I just want to talk prep. Like, that's right.
No, totally.
So, like, it's cool, but I'm definitely ready to be done with it.
Heck yeah. Yeah. I mean, gosh, I like I said, I can't wait. This is going to be such a great year in 2021. But let's even take it back to the beginning of the year, which kind of started off on a kind of a bad note even before COVID, you know?
Yeah.
And that was because, if you guys didn't know, I had strabismus eye surgery in January. And the initial plan was, okay, get this eye surgery done and then compete at the Arnold. But honestly, this recovery was taking way longer than we had expected. So just for a little background, strabismus eye surgery is not LASIK surgery. I feel like a lot of people thought it was like LASIK surgery and like, oh wait, why can't she compete? I mean, I got eye surgery too, like 2 years ago. It's fine the next week. No, it was not. It was not LASIK. So in strabismus eye surgery, they basically had to put me down under full anesthesia. They like cut my eye muscles and tied them and rearranged them to the where they would line up. Because what was happening is I had like a really rare case of adult onset strabismus, which strabismus is AKA lazy eye. So usually when people have lazy eye, they have like a few issues with them. They have either, well, they were either born with it. So a lot of people you'll find were just like born with it and always kind of had like a little bit of a lazy eye as a child. That wasn't me. Another thing could be like brain issues, like a brain tumor, or what they actually thought it was MS, multiple sclerosis.
That was a scary one.
That one was scary. They were pretty convinced that's what it was, because here we have an adult female who's never had any kind of lazy eye issues that has double vision kind of progressing. So my double vision, like I couldn't even see straight at all. Like even if I tried, I saw double of everything unless like I looked at the ground for some reason. When I looked at my feet, those were fine. But anything else, oh, it was just so frustrating. And like, I remember the worst, you know, it got really bad whenever like I noticed, like it got so bad, like the Starbucks barista would hand me like my drink and I like kept reaching for it because I didn't know which one was the right one. And it's like, oh, it just made me dizzy. And gosh, even in 2019 at the Olympia, like I had it too. And it was just like, you can't maneuver yourself and your depth perception was bad. So 24 double vision just sucks so bad. And it's just 24. Like 24/7. That means some people have double vision when they're tired. Some people have it like only if they're looking at something for too long. Mine was constant. Like I couldn't turn it off. I never had any good days or anything like that. So it was just getting worse and worse. So anyway, they thought it was multiple sclerosis. I got all these CAT scans and MRIs, and it turns out, thank God, it wasn't that. It was the best thing it could be, which was just strabismus, adult onset, just kind of within the span of 6 months, went from being like, oh yeah, it's hard to focus, to like, I can't not see double. So anyway, I got that surgery in January, and you know, I was under the impression like, okay, I can start lightly training and easing back into it after 2 weeks. Oh no, oh no, oh no. I remember even I tried to do cardio, then my eyes started to bleed because you can't like raise your heart rate. Like, and it was just so inflamed from the surgery itself and holding so much water, and I didn't know how much water was fat. And yeah, and honestly, I had to wear, and the one thing they didn't tell me either is I had to wear glasses for like probably like 3 months, I would say. Like I couldn't even wear contacts or eye makeup. So yeah, it just took a lot longer to recover than what I had thought. So I had to pull out of the Arnold, which was so devastating because it's like, you know, I applied for the Arnold, I got accepted, I got like one of those spots, and then they're like, oh, you know, I had to tell them like, sorry, I can't, there's no way I can't even, I'm not recovered yet. There's no way. So that was really like sad.
Yeah.
Because I love the Arnold.
Yeah, the Arnold's probably, is Arnold your favorite show over the Olympics because of the memories and
stuff? Yeah, it's kind of like the show that started it all.
Yeah.
As an amateur, I won it overall in 2012.
Yeah.
As an amateur, that was like my first big break. But the thing is, back in 2012, they had different rules. So I was an American, so I couldn't win my pro card there, even though I won overall.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
The thing about now, how people don't realize, like, if you've been competing the last, like, even the last, like, 4 or 5 years, like, you don't realize how much harder it used to be to get a pro card.
Yes.
Like, it used to be, like, at every national show, you'd have to win top two in the overall or the overall. And, like, there were some people, like, a lot of times, I would say the taller or the shorter you are in the big national shows, the less likely you are to win the overall. Like, it seems to always be, like, the C, D, like, those middle 5'5" classes are, like, seems to be, like, what win at probably a higher percentage. Maybe because there's more of them. I don't know the reasoning for it.
Actually, back when I was competing, it was A, B, C, or D, I think.
Oh, yeah, so C and B would get it. Yeah, back then it was, sometimes they had ABC only.
Yeah.
ABC only classes.
And then, out of those classes, the overall winner would win or something
in national. That was it. Yeah, if it was ABC, it would be overall winner. ABCD, it would still be the overall winner. Some of them, would be top two in the overall.
Yeah,
it was really hard to win. Like these, now, like top two, when there's eight classes and 16 bikini pros at like USA's and nationals, like that's unheard of. Like it was like 16 people in like a year would win it. If that, I don't even think it was a year, 16 bikini pros would come out of the US. And then overseas, it was really weird because you couldn't win
even
a pro card.
For them.
Yeah, you couldn't win a pro card overseas. You had like a certain amount given to like your country type of thing. So like you'd get like the UK, I think it was the UK. Yeah. They had like one or two pro cards like a year that they could give out. And it wasn't two to like bikini and two to men's physique and it was two, period.
Yeah.
And so it always go to like a bodybuilder because that's the, you know, they like if these guys are old school bodybuilders back, especially back then, you know, 10 years back, and they'd be like, well, who are we going to give it to? Just a bikini girl? Or are we going to give it to like this bodybuilder who we know and we love and he's won every show here for the last 8 years? Like, so it was like, it was really hard. So then you'd have to submit your resume to the IFBB, like your contest history resume to the president of the international IFBB. And then if your resume was there, then you'd get a pro card, maybe.
For your pro card.
Yeah, maybe. But you'd have to have a pretty thorough resume,
which is funny because, like, you know how I mentioned I won the overall at the Arnold? All those girls that won their height classes, they were from different countries. I think if there was another USA girl, but like we're talking Finland and another girl from Chile and blah 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 blah, they all won their pro card before me and I beat them in the overall, but they petitioned, so it's like a little like loophole. I'm like, but that's okay because I ended up getting the pro card because I won overall at Team Universe a few months later. It was hard.
Now I like it, the system, a lot better. The win and you're in system, especially overseas, win and you're in. I love that. Yeah, it's like, hey, win and you're in. There's no weird, you know, petition
hope
stuff.
And pray.
It was like people taking like the Floyd Mayweather route where they would take like easy fights and win the small shows and then have like eight small show wins and then submit it and they're playing the game, you know, and it's like, you know, and you know, there's that, hey, it's part of the game back then, right? I probably do the same thing overseas, you know. So it was a lot different back then. So anyway, I cut you off on that.
Oh no, it's okay. We both kind of drifted away from the topic, but yeah, I had to get out of the Arnold. I had to pull out of the Arnold. It was so sad. And not only that, like from my recovery, like I was literally just supposed to sit there and just recover and sleep as much as possible. Doctor's orders, all that. And it was kind of like a quarantine before the quarantine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause it's even, I couldn't even go outside because the sun burnt my eyeballs. Like I was so sensitive to light. Like I tried like going outside even with the really dark sunglasses and I'm like, oh my God, I can see it through my eyelids. It's like, I was so sensitive to light. And like I said, we tried to work out, even my eyes were bleeding. So I'm like, oh, probably shouldn't try that again. Yeah. So I just had to really ease back into it with really light weights. But yeah, that was the quarantine before the quarantine.
Yeah, you had double quarantine.
The lockdown before the lockdown. I was in lockdown longer than anyone else and I was in California, so it was super lockdown. Oh my gosh. But yeah, that's after I started to recover, I had to keep escaping to Colorado to train with you because at least Colorado was more open and we got to get some good lifting sessions in so that we could start prepping for real this time for my first show, which was
clutch. Yeah, we ran a kind of a speakeasy in Colorado with the back door opening the gym up because we were like, I don't know if they're gonna come, but if they're we're staying open. So yeah, we shut down for like, there was like a week where we shut down. When it first happened, I was afraid too. I was like, because they had everyone afraid, you know. We were like, we're gonna get it. Remember, you like flew in and you like took off all your clothes in the laundry room and then you
ran. I wore like three masks in the airport.
And now we're like, we were in Orlando and we're not advising this at all, but we were in Orlando with no mask in the meet the athlete meeting with like 2,000 people.
No one was wearing a mask.
Yeah, no one's wearing a mask. Everyone's taking pictures right next to you.
I mean, and on stage, obviously, no one was
yeah,
wearing a mask.
I mean, you know, you guys have your own views on it, but we're fine. Yeah. That's all I could say.
I mean, but yeah, I will say like the whole COVID situation is unique because it taught us like how to, I guess, even train differently and to have shows run differently too. Yeah. So like for me, you know, I did just like everyone else today. I was doing those at home workouts for a while with the resistance bands. And I'll be honest, those were fun for a few weeks and I was able to maintain, but oh my God, those got so boring. I'm like, oh, this stupid resistance band again. Like, ugh, I didn't even want to look at it.
Yeah.
And I had to do also for cardio when I was able to, when I was recovered from my eye, I did the staircase cardio in my apartment complex. I have 12 stories. I was just I put weights on my legs and I basically just jog the stairs, walk the stairs, kickbacks, all that for cardio. It was so stuffy. Those were not fun times.
Didn't they tell you couldn't do that at a certain point?
No. Okay. They didn't catch me.
Okay.
Because no one uses stairs. They always use elevators because everyone's lazy.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. You know what's crazy is that so before when I'd have athletes contact me and they'd be like, hey, I want to do prep or whatever, but I want to do a home gym workout. And I'll be like, no, I'll be like, I'm not going to prep you. Like it's not going to work. You know, I was like, oh, it's just not that ideal. Like you're going to go against people that have full gym access and it's just such a disadvantage. And then at a certain point when COVID hit, I was like, okay, well, we better get good at these like gym workouts. And then that really opened up my mind because people were getting results just the same. And I just never really like thought about it. It was always like an afterthought. It was always like, oh, your garage gym, like just go to the gym, you know. It was kind of one of those things. But then when they took the gym away, I was like, okay, let's try to make this work. And then I started seeing like mass numbers of people making the same progress. I was like, well, this is crazy. I didn't expect this. So yeah, so now it forced all the coaches to get like become masters at home gym workouts, which is a cool thing now, because some people, they don't want to go back to the gym yet. And I've learned like, hey, this is pretty, they get the same results. And as long as they're keeping their intensity up, they get the same results. I had a girl, the girl who won Miss Colorado this year, Louisa Burke. She's awesome. You can follow her. She's from California, and she came out to Colorado to compete doing her whole workout in her garage. Mm-hmm. She's still in the garage. She's been in the garage for like a year almost at this point. And she competed against all the Coloradans that had gym access, of course, and she won the overall. And I'm like, that's crazy. This girl has like, she's got half, like one third the tools that you guys have. Right. And she's just, but her intensity's not swaying, you know, and that's all it came down to, was just staying focused mentally, staying focused with your intensity. And yeah, you could do it, home gym workout. She's making progress every show. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is great. I mean, yeah, it is an eye opener. It kind of taught us, hey, you know, if we can't make it to the gym one day, you could still get a good workout with resistance bands. I think we're kind of like very prideful in our industry, like resistance.
Yeah.
Scoff. That's not going to work. And I'll be honest, like if you're a bodybuilder, it's probably,
you need some heavy
dumbbells. But for bikini, you could probably get away with it for a few if you, you know, really don't have time for a gym. So that's definitely taught us that we can do that. And I also like some of the progress also the shows have made as well. Although, first off, I got to hand it to the promoters because this was definitely not an easy year to work around. And there were so many instances where shows almost got canceled or got canceled at the last minute, but not at the fault of the promoter, but just like the government would come in all of a sudden and just say, nope, we can't have this, blah, blah, blah. So there's been so many of those close calls, and they definitely worked around it, made it happen no matter what. And I think some of the things that they did during these shows, maybe we can apply that to the future. Like I saw some pretty cool things, such as like in the Tahoe show, we had like an athletes meeting, but it was like a virtual athletes meeting. They sent us a link and kind of gave us the details of the show. This is what's going to happen. They go there. That was pretty cool. I liked that. I also like how they did on some of the shows, they did like pre-judging and finals right together, back to back. So that was nice because as a competitor, one of the worst parts is going back to your hotel room after pre-judging, sitting for 5 hours, and just like thinking, looking at the wall, is there something I could do better? Did I do okay? Did I smile enough? Like, it's just like not knowing. So like, I like knowing right away, like, okay, you know, and then you actually got enough time to go out to eat afterwards. Yeah. So that was really cool. And also the virtual live streams, I think is a great step
for the future is like they realize, oh, we can live stream this and make some money off of it. Yeah. And hopefully they can have that in addition to a live audience next year, but, or this year, I should say. But I do like how they're kind of learning the technology part of that. Like, oh yeah, we got a live stream we can promote and stuff too. So
yeah, I think that it jumped the industry virtually like more, like maybe 10 years, you know, something yeah. like that. The yeah, especially with the live, I don't know why they were taking so long doing the live streams in the first place, but the one cool thing too, is we got to see like what promoters were really like about it, you know? And that was something that was, to me, it's important because like I do this because I'm about it. I live the life. I love this stuff. Like I would do it for free if I didn't have to, like if I didn't need to make an income, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I love this stuff that much. And some of the promoters like that really like, I got to see like how passionate they really are about this stuff. Like, and I always mention Tamer and Tarek because what they did to make that show happen in Vegas was insane. Like no one else would have done that, you know? Yeah. And I know no one else would have done it because I tried helping promoters get started. Cause at first they shut the shows down for a while. And then some promoters had the option of having a show in their city, but they were like, oh, but we can only have 100 in the audience or something. So we're not going to do it because we're not going to make money. And I was like, who cares about the money, guys? Like, it's not about that. It's about getting these athletes on stage that have been prepping for 5 months who can't get on stage because you guys keep pulling shows. Like, we've all made money and now it's time for us to step up and give back to the community, you know? And so I told the promoters, I even found one promoter and I was like, look, I'll pay for the venue, which was a restaurant in Denver, which was used to work there a long time ago. She knew the owner and he had a big venue, like a big enough venue to have a show. I'm like, I'll pay for that and I'll sponsor it to cover half your losses, right? Just get it, keep the show going, you know, just keep it going. And even then they were like, no, you know, it's just not going to be enough. We're going to take a hit. And I'm like, dude, it's $2,000. Like it's, no one wants to lose that money, but these athletes deserved it, you know? But Tamer and Tarek, you know, like, so that was like one end of the spectrum, right? Which would say, I would say someone's more in it for like business reasons than passion reasons. And then the other end of the spectrum was like Tamer and Tarek.
Muscle contest.
And that's why I'm like hardcore. If you guys are need to go to a show, like muscle contest, Spectrum, who's I'm thinking of?
Legion.
Legion's
Center Podium.
Center Podium, and then Wings of Strength, right? Wings of Strength. The Tim Gardner promotion. Those guys are like in the industry so much and so passionate about it and made these things happen, these shows happen, no matter what. I mean, talk about the Tahoe show, right? That guy, he was Center Podium.
Even made it work outside.
Yeah, he made it work outside.
That was some cool stage lighting too. I liked that one.
He was so passionate about it. He was like, hey, I'll get married today to make it an event.
That's crazy, yeah.
Because they were going to cancel it. And he's like, well, your weddings are allowed to have an audience. And we could just say, this is my wedding. I'll get married.
See a loophole.
Like, exactly. So like, there's certain guys that are like, I learned a lot about the promoters. I'm like, who's a businessman who's in here to make profit? And who's a guy that's actually in the game with me, like willing to do the fitness thing, like even take a loss because it's the right thing to do for the athletes. And so Tamer and Tarek, they did that show. The one venue got canceled. They went to another venue. Me and Ashley were there on Friday, the day before the show started, to do the meeting, and we're going to do a posing class. All of a sudden, you start hearing all these little murmurs from behind the staff, and they're like, "We got a problem. We got a problem."
Panicked.
They looked, yeah, kind of. They're like, "Hey, we're not going to do the posing thing like right at 5." At that moment, they got told that they can't have the show there, even though they were told the day before they could have the show.
Right after the athletes meeting.
So they went out at. Right after that, they left. I didn't even see them because they were like, they were trying to find another venue. So they went out until 11 o'clock. So from 5 to 11, they were trying to find a venue. And you got to remember, nothing's open. It's Friday night and it's on lockdown. So nothing's open for them to find a venue. They found a venue. The guy way overcharged them. He killed them on the price. So they lose the money on the main venue. They lose the money on the second venue. You know, there's not a lot of athletes there in the first place because it's the COVID shutdowns. And then they make it happen. They made it an awesome show. And like, it was like a hookah lounge. That'll always be my favorite memory. I don't think I'm going to have another favorite memory than Tamer and Tarek, like making it happen at a hookah lounge, right? Like last minute, throwing it together. They got a stage for, who's the girl we did the workout with at her house? The real nice house? Orianne. Mm-hmm. She gave us a stage. Mm-hmm. She gave us a stage for that. So it was like the community got together. They lost a ton of money doing it, but they were like smiling and like happy about it. And Tamer told me, he's like, you know what? He's like, I'll do all these shows. And he's like, I'll promote the Olympia this year, but nothing will probably make me happier than knowing that I made this show work like no matter what, and we're going to make it work always for the athlete, you know? Yes. He's like, I've never been so happy to lose about 20 grand in my life. Cause like he took a huge hit on that, but like, that was like passion. You know, most guys would have been like, hey, they shut us down. That's it. You know, but they made it work.
And they continue to have shows. Cause I think like a lot of promoters after experiencing something like that would be very discouraged. Like, we're not going to take that risk again, but they continue to put on the shows. And I ended up competing in one of them, which was very well ran, but it just goes to show you that the tenacity that's they're just so passionate about.
Some people have it, you know. The same thing happened with Sandy's show and Ted's show, the Spectrum show. They moved one of their Vegas shows to Texas to make it work. They've been moving shows all around, like, to make it work. Center Podium's been doing that. Tim Gardner's been doing that. So it's like, you could see the guys who are like really passionate about it. And then you could see the other side of it too. And I was like, hey, like, and I don't care to call it out. That's just the reality of things. And so for me, it's like, hey, I want my people to go with people who are passionate about competing and keeping shows going and keeping the industry going, even at its worst, when the athletes need us the most, you know?
Yeah. And they also never cut our pay either. Yeah. Like for the athletes, you know, they kept their paychecks, like the first place, second place, third place winners still got paid and everything.
So next year, guys, when it's 2021, look at the promoters who basically took a bath in 2020. And you know, if you have the option of doing one show or the other, like, yeah, go to a muscle contest show, go to a Spectrum show versus another one. Because they gave it when we needed them. You know, when we needed them to step up, they stepped up. And I'm never going to forget that. So you guys that are listening to this, you guys out there who are the promoters that did a good job, like, I appreciate you guys very much for doing that and stepping up for the community. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. So
speaking of shows, we did quite a bit this year.
Yeah.
Well, not even quite a bit. I don't lie.
Not as many as we'd like.
Not as many. But given circumstances, I guess. because I didn't even get to start competing till what was it, August?
Yeah, end you're of in August? Forever prep.
I was in prep a long time this year. But the first show was Clash. And that was a good one. Yeah. You actually didn't get to make it to Clash because there was like, what was it? A barbecue that day? I'm just kidding. Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember what it was. What did you have going on that day? Another show in Denver or something.
Show in Denver,
That was a good show though. Oh. And that promoter is great as well. Joe Pishuda. He's a really good guy. And he's very passionate as well. So that was a show in Florida. And it was moved from, I believe, South Carolina to Florida, which Florida seems to be like that new hot spot for these shows because they're a lot more lenient with the regulations, which makes it more safe for, you know, the competitors, knowing that it's probably going to go through. So that was like a really good show to start off on in 2020. And it was the first time that I wore a red suit.
Yeah.
Adam talked me into it to wear a red suit. Yeah. I was so afraid. I was afraid that if I changed my suit from green, which I've been wearing since my pro career, like, they won't know who I am. Like, who's this new girl in a red suit?
Yeah, you thought you were gonna get overlooked.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, who's this new girl, you know? So they recognized me so. And the judge really liked my red suit. And she said, Ashley, that red looks so good on you. I don't think you should ever wear green again. So that was like really good feedback.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, okay, red, here we go. I think that's a great color for me. So
no, I do. It's good. It's good on your skin tones too. And mm-hmm. pops and yeah. And then what else was the next show?
The muscle con, my first muscle contest show, which was, I believe, 2 weeks later.
It's funny is because they were always giving us a hard time for not doing their show.
I know.
It just never worked out.
It just didn't lighten up like time-wise and convenience-wise travel. But it was my first muscle contest show. And I can't believe it took me this long to compete in muscle contest, just because honestly, like, there was, when I was competing so much and I was on the East Coast, they're usually on the West Coast and I just never got there or just didn't line up with my schedule. But I'm glad we finally got to do that.
Yeah.
And that show you did get to come to.
Yeah, it was fun.
And that was a great one. And I think like even body wise, I looked even better on that show than Clash. I was a little bit leaner, but not as like dense in my abs. So, you know, Clash was like really good for the shoulders. Like I had really good physique. For my upper body, but my abs were a little but I definitely tightened up for the muscle contest show, Pacific USA. You were there and I remember great memories backstage, you holding my resistance band and we're watching Anya, which is my teammate, she in her pro debut, on the live stream. So that was such a cool thing. Like, we were watching her as I was, like, pumping up.
What's fun is a bunch of other girls were watching the live stream too. Like,
they cuddled over. Yeah.
It was kind of fun. So it's cool, the community of it, right?
Yeah.
And then hopefully she said she's going to compete a lot next year too. Okay. She wants to compete a lot. So, and then, then you had your third show,
which was the Tahoe show. Yeah, so that was the outdoor venue that we were referring to. That was such a cool show.
Yeah.
It was my first ever outdoor show.
I loved your look on that show too.
Yeah. I think honestly, between the both of us, I think that was like our best look.
I liked it. Yeah. Because your abs weren't crazy crispy like Clash. Yeah. Like,
I was
your
very
density tight, wasn't but, yeah, you're tight, your density wasn't too crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked that show a lot. And it was like the show that I got feedback that I was maybe a little too hard, especially in the glutes and hamstrings. I got second at that show. So in Clash I got first, Pacific USA I got first, both with perfect scores. And then Tahoe was my show that I got second on, and I got feedback from the judges that I was a little too tight, a little too hard. So we kind of took that into consideration. And I think after that show is when we're like, okay, we're going to cut off the cardio.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to be a critique that we're too hard or too lean again. So at that point too, my metabolism was on fire at that point of year. It just seemed like everything I ate, just like, it just burnt through it. So I don't know, for some reason, my metabolism was just on fire.
Yeah.
Which was a good problem to have, because it was like, okay, I can chill out on the Orange Theory classes, on the cardio. And then, the last show of the regular season, excluding the Olympia, of course, was the Battle in the Desert, which was in Texas. Yeehaw.
Yeah, that was a fun
That was
show.
Another good look. I got first place. That one was a very satisfying win. Yeah. And the brisket. I tried some brisket afterwards. Oh my gosh. I was never really exposed to brisket, but everyone's, you know, raving about the Texas barbecue. So we went. I had brisket, and that was some good brisket. Yeah. I like brisket. I'm a fan of brisket, Texas brisket. So that was a great one.
I just liked the Texas like attitude out there too. I was at the gyms, and then you know, there was like people like not wearing masks in the gyms, and I was like, hey, do I gotta wear this? And he's like, we don't wear that shit here. He's like, in Texas. I was like, yeah. It was just like the red state mentality of like, you know, just these red state guys, like Florida, Texas, the extreme Republican states. They're like, no, we're open, we're free, you do what you want. And I just like that attitude, you know, because after a year of being shut down and seeing like the differences of all the governments, I'm like, yeah, I like these guys. So if I wasn't moving to Vegas, I would have moved to Texas for sure.
Texas is a great fitness,
that place is awesome.
Community too.
The food, the community, the attitude.
The brisket, might just move for the brisket.
Yeah, just that like USA patriot attitude. I just love those guys out there, man.
Yeah, so. That was a great time for us. And we really like the look. We're just like, you know, every show we do, we kind of learn something from it, and always a learning lesson. So after that show, we were kind of debating, like, should I compete again before Olympia, or should I leave off on this really good note? Because in our opinion, we're like, we're satisfied with like the last look that I gave. You know, I don't want to ruin my confidence, because what if I did another show before Olympia? Maybe I didn't do so well, you know. So we ultimately ended up deciding just to wait till Olympia to compete again. So I mean, at the time that made a lot of sense, and I don't regret that decision. I feel like, you know, I had great confidence coming in, and that, I couldn't ask for anything more in that regular season. And then of course the Olympia, which we won't go into much, because last podcast was all about the Olympia. You know? So if you want to know all about the Olympia and how it went, you can check out the podcast before this. But let's talk a little bit about, you know, what's been going on between now or the Olympia now. You know, things have slowed down. The season is over. So what have you been up to since the Olympia?
I've just been, honestly, been looking at like how I'm going to attack 2021. I always like, you know, we always have a plan and structure. And I've really come to the conclusion of no more. I'm not going to buy any more real estate projects. I don't want to do that anymore. I've done what I needed to do. And I think like I kind of had some like self-assessment. We can go into this part of the next episode more. But like, yeah, I had some like self-assessment of where my priorities were in terms of like what I want to do with my career at this point too. And I want to push the training like super, super hard next year. Like, I just want to push that. Like if I was thinking to myself, like if I just didn't have any distractions whatsoever, like how much better would I be?
You know? Oh, your training.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not like me personally. No, me like as a coach training.
Like, oh, okay.
Like as a coach.
Not like
without.
Out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, still, I want to work out hard.
Well, of course.
Always want to work out harder, right? But I just want to really focus on that and focus on like the new coaches that are at the prep center too, and get the team better, and like just create this like ultimate community. That's mm-hmm. really what I want now. Is this is like really create that ultimate community in Vegas, and not have any like just purely just this. That's it, you know. And like the other stuff, I think is great, because you know there's a lot of people. You know, there's a lot of opportunity during the COVID shutdowns. There's a lot of opportunity, and I took advantage of it in terms of like the real estate and the stock markets and stuff like that. And like I'm just want to be completely done with that, because it's just so distracting.
Yeah? It is.
Yeah. It's just so distracting. So like, it's just not worth it at a certain point. Like you just, mm-hmm. you know, you make what you make, and then at a certain point, it just doesn't matter anymore. You know, so it's like with that stuff, I'm just happy to be done with it and have no projects, no buildings, no moving, no anything. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm just happy to get this place going. I'm really excited. The Vegas community has really been very
good to us. Yeah.
Very open armed. Like people are visiting the prep center already, and they're like just driving by and taking pictures. Like mm-hmm. it's coming. And like when I go to gyms, people come up to me and they're like, they'll talk to me about it. And it's just like, it's been very cool to see. It's very different.
You're finally all unpacked and settled in your house here too.
Yeah.
You know, that's good. That's good. Just like one less thing to worry about as well. I'm sure it's such a stressful thing with moving. It always ends up being way more work than what you thought. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or something goes wrong, or the moving truck is delayed.
Yeah, you had it pretty funny. The worst one was Ashley's moving. I'm going to tell one story about Ashley's moving. She has this big bean bag. Yes. It's like a big love sack. You know, these are like, I don't know, $600, $800 love bean bags are really expensive. They're big. And her movers emptied the beans, the foam.
Yeah, but they're the foam that it's like, once it's out. Cause it's like the compression kind.
Yeah.
Like when I first got this bean bag thing, it came in a smaller box than what it expanded to.
Yeah.
So once it expands, that's it. You know what I mean?
They put it in like six different boxes. They charged her for each box like $25.
Yeah, and they ruined my furniture. I'm like, whose idea was this? Like, it wasn't even like an accident, right? Because sometimes you could be like, okay, I'm sure it was an accident moving. Like, no, they purposely took it out of my sack and then distributed it in all these huge boxes. Like, what am I going to do with this?
Yeah, it doesn't.
We put it all together with these little pieces of foam that won't fit in. Like,
I don't know the logic, because it doesn't decrease the volume in any capacity. If anything, it might increase the volume, right?
I don't understand.
It was so weird. So I didn't have anything like that. Fortunately, I didn't have anything like that.
I mean, at least nothing's missing or anything like that. But it does feel good to be all settled in your place.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I think that was pretty much it. So I'm excited for the move. I'm happy to be here now in Vegas. I'm happy to have the tax savings in Vegas, especially. Mm-hmm. And then where they just, I feel like they appreciate your business a little bit more here too. Like, they're like, hey, they're only charging me on the building. They're charging me $5,000 a year in property taxes. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a better location. It's closer to the strip. It's better for the community. People mm-hmm. from California can drive here. And then in Colorado, it was like, we're going to raise them more. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you a surprise bill. Oh, we're charging you for this now. And it was like, they just didn't appreciate you know, and then when it came down to the last thing, like one of the last straws too, was all that whole situation. But the other one was like, they wanted a letter of my, they wanted copies of my gross income statements, like my business gross income statements. And I was like, it has nothing to do with my property taxes. You shouldn't need that to assess property value. Like, you don't need that.
Right.
And I told them that, and they're like, well, that's how we assess it, based on what you're making there too. Cause it's a commercial. I'm like, it has no relevance, you know, to it. So I'm like, if I was making less, if I was taking a loss every year, would you lower my taxes? Mm-hmm. But no, but if I'm having a higher gross income, you would raise them, right? And it looks like we make a lot of money, because we have 12 trainers training out of there. So yeah, we have a good amount of revenue, but it's 12 people making an income. It's not like mine.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish it was mine.
See, you don't got to deal with that anymore.
Nope, now it's like
fresh slate.
Fresh start.
And you went out to dinner a few times and get to see more of Vegas too, since you've gotten back and you have a little more time.
You know what? I like, that's what I like. You know, and that's the thing. When I'm with Anya in Denver, mm-hmm. it was always like the same thing. Because unless you're like skiing, hiking, or like you're a bar guy, like who likes different beers and stuff, like craft beers, in that type of scene, like there's really not that much to do in Denver, you know. Mm-hmm. There's just not, like, you can go to a few restaurants on 16th Street. There's a few restaurants, you know, but you go through those pretty quick. And then there's like comedy clubs, and then hopefully there's a show in town. Like, but the show will be like one show in town for like 6 weeks, and then another show in town for like 6 weeks. But like, and I'm like a show guy and a dinner guy. That's what we do. I don't go to bars. I don't drink or anything like that. So for me, and I don't ski, So like, it just wasn't that much for me to do there for my lifestyle besides work out and go to a movie or something, you know. But here it's like, what do you want to do? We're like, oh, we could do this, we do this. Like, we just find things.
Oh, there's endless amounts of things to do here. Crazy.
Yesterday we went out to eat. And then we found a golf course, like an indoor golf course. It's all Kiss, you know, that the band Kiss. Mm-hmm. It was all them. It was like all these tongues sticking out and a VW car with like, it's just crazy, you know. And it was like, it's this black light. We're like, hey, we should go here. Like the other day we went out, we got lost and went to this Anya, it was like, there was something, and she wanted a donut. She's like, I want one donut. I haven't had a donut in so long. Like, let's go get you a donut. So I went and took her to this like Krispy Kreme's, which was inside of a casino. But inside the casino was an amusement park that we would have never found before. Yeah, so we went on this amusement park for an hour and a half. Like, we wouldn't, you know, it was like
spontaneous.
It's just so much to do. It's so cool. Yeah, it's just so cool.
So, goodness. What else have you been doing since then? Besides going to dinners, exploring new places in Vegas, and finding yourself.
Yeah, finding myself.
So,
deep. I would say that the...
Oh, a lot of working on the gym,
the gym. It's been nonstop. But luckily, I'm like officing out of there. I don't like this. I have like a plastic fold-out desk that I work out of now. So everything's like almost done. They're doing the carpet in the... they've been laying carpet in the offices now. I imagine they'll be done with that this week. Tomorrow, I'll be there laying the rubber floors with the guys. We're moving all the equipment around. So we might have the gym portion done by Sunday. It's possible. And then it's really cool. I just can't wait. And then it's going to be so weird for me. I'm like, it's going to be so weird to like not have anything else going on. All I'm going to do is
I'm sure you'll find a lot.
I'm going to really try not to. Let's see if you guys can keep me accountable. I know it sounds weird, but I only want to just be at the prep center with no other things going on and just coach. That's what I want to do.
Film
content, of course. I love it. That's honestly,
I like it. It's a lot of fun.
It's fun.
Hopefully I don't annoy you too much. No, but like, let's do a video. Let's do a video.
It mixes things up. You know, I like it. It's like a fun thing.
It's rewarding to like, feel like, you know, you helped somebody maybe a little bit. So. Yeah.
If I ever did anything else, like at this point, because I don't want to do any more like projects. It's the money's great, whatever. But like, I don't want to do any more of that stuff. I'm done with it.
Right.
It's just the property stuff is like, it's a lot, you know, the city and this and that. It's just so much. Money's cool, but I'm just not into the stuff for the money, you know. It's just like, you just kind of needed to do that at a certain point in your life to get ahead. Mm-hmm. But I'm done with that stuff.
Totally.
I think if I did anything else, it would be like I would do content, like I would edit and stuff and have fun with it. Yeah, but my personality,
well, the camera loves you, man. the camera loves you. You pull in the views.
My personality though, like I just can't do anything like 50%, so I get afraid of doing something like that I can have access to 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like, and that's why I don't play video games either. Because like, I know that world. Like, I just know how I am. But you like
being behind the camera though, right now. Yeah. For now.
Yeah.
Which is great because like I said, the camera loves you, Adam. Sure does.
But that would be something I would do. That'd be because I did like that. I love photography.
Oh, I know. I know. You're one of those people that like, once you find something you like, it's like, whoa, can't get them away from that.
Yeah. It's, I got to watch
it. Blessing and a curse, right?
Luckily it's been prep for most of my life, but yeah, it's not healthy.
Totally.
So,
and then I guess I'll go into like what I've been doing since the Olympia. See, I'm already skipping ahead. Honestly, nothing too exciting. I had like one treat meal, I guess you could say. I went out to a restaurant with my boyfriend and had like a stuffed chicken thing. I tried a little bit of something called a fried avocado, which is crazy. Only a little bit, don't worry.
I never heard of
it. I haven't either until I went there. It was a Mexican restaurant and they put like shredded beef inside an avocado and like fried it. So that was really good, but something cool to
explain this. Wait, so they cut the avocado
in half,
put beef in the hole.
And they put like some sort of a breading around it and then fry it.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know what makes it really stick other than the breading, but it's incredible. Huh. But yeah, that was my little thing. You guys know I don't like eat like too much. Like I'm not really a let's go out for a big dinner kind of person. I hate that feeling of being bloated, being too full. I hate that feeling. So I'm usually more of a snacker. But I haven't strayed too far away other than that dinner. Just like additional little snacks here and there as first diet. And I've been doing a lot of like pampering and self-care kind of things the last few weeks. Massage, facial, pedicure, all that. And it just feels so good to relax. And as far as training is concerned, I actually haven't lifted yet, but we will after this podcast. I have not lifted yet, but I have been doing my Orange Theory classes. So in Orange Theory, I do get like a little bit of a lift in there. but it's mostly cardio and plyos, obviously. So that's been kind of nice just to like sit back, relax, and kind of like slow down a little bit. But I'll be honest, I'm already getting bored. I'm like, okay, time to prep again. Yeah, I'm bored. Let's prep.
Yeah, and I think we'll go into our New Year's goals or something next episode.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But we have some surprises for you with Ashley's competing next year.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think the other thing, too, to take from this, I think to like wrap it up in some of this podcast episode is, one, we all had a pretty, I mean, I don't care what your situation was. It was a crappy year in terms of like, you know, emotions, right? Like, it was just hard to be around during these shutdowns and the unsure mm-hmm. times and government overreaching and all these different things. And I think that a lot of us stuck with it. This gave us something to look at as like a positive, you mm-hmm. know, every day gave you something to de-stress about, work out, de-stress, not worry about the world, which was basically burning on fire. And sometimes literally burning on fire this year, like in Australia and California at some point. And then to like, just let us, we should all be like thankful that we have this as a go-to, because a lot of people don't have anything, you know, like when they're, all they had was their work, and then mm-hmm. their work got taken from them. And then they had like nothing to keep them kind of distracted from it, you know, and like keep them, this keeps us distracted. It keeps us motivated. And a lot of, you know, ways you can look at this is like, you know, making lemonade out of lemons, right? And a lot of people, especially I found in our community, a lot of people got ahead because they were forced to find another way. Yeah. I knew a lot of trainers who were doing video Skype sessions that they're like through with their clients. And so they increased another stream of revenue, and they can grow their business now with clients in different states doing video calls. Our industry jumped ahead because now we're doing more video stuff where there's a lot more trainers doing stuff online now too. And I think it's really like there was opportunity there. And I think that anyone who's going through this year can see, hey, you know what, even in the worst of times, there's opportunity. You just got to look for it, you know? And I think that hopefully 2021 in the next few months will be getting better. You know, I mean, it can't be, the bar is so low. It can't be worse, right? It's like, how could it even be worse at this point? Even California was talking about opening up a little bit because they said that the recall on Newsom was like getting enough signatures where he's like getting scared. So he's opening up a little bit more. I don't know if that's true. So hopefully everything gets a little better everywhere. Yeah, my mom told me that. Yes, she's from California still. Mm-hmm. So she told me that yesterday because I guess they're opening up schools now because mm-hmm. of that, because of the signature thing. So it's kind of cool that that I'm hoping these states like the New York, the Californias, the Colorados, and whatever the places that are a little bit like more strict are gonna like see Florida and see Texas and be like, hey, they're open and the case number is the same. Like, it's not helping to be shut down. Mm-hmm. So let's just open, you know. Hopefully that's the case, and everyone has a little bit better of a year. But but yeah, I think I'm happy that we got through this year, the smile and some fun and some laughs.
Yes, yeah. It was, you know, a lot of crap, but we still had some great memories in there. A lot of good learning lessons too. We definitely grew from it.
Yeah.
That is for sure. And I think, you know, we're going to take those lessons and apply them.
Yeah.
For the future.
I'm happy. I'm happy with the, mm-hmm. with the year, how it went too. And I think the other thing too, is like just to see the opportunity that's available. Like when these things happen for any of you guys that are more into like the financial side or whatever too, like you can learn from this, and if something like this happens again, you can make sure that you're smart and ahead and whatnot too. So yeah, anyway, I guess with that, guys, next episode we're gonna do our New Year's goals,
or plans for 2021. Yeah. I think that'd be a great episode because we didn't even scratch the surface,
not on that. Yeah, so
we didn't mention a little bit, but you know, there's way more to come
because yeah,
we've got a lot of ish to do this year.
Yeah,
a lot of
stuff to do. But what I would like, if we can have your help, guys, if you guys want to either shoot me a DM or text or DM Ashley on what you're planning on doing for 2021, maybe we could throw some of those goals into the next mm-hmm. Podcast, because I think there's going to be some things that we're not even thinking about because we're thinking so fitness based, you know, too.
Right.
But I would like to see other people's goals other than that, you know, mm-hmm. and kind of see, maybe it'll help someone out there cope some goals for themselves.
Yeah.
So anyway, with that, guys, thank you so much for listening to us and for staying with us the whole year. Hopefully we provided some useful information, mm-hmm. and we will talk to you next time.